Hello, everybody. This is Gerald Celente, and it's October 2nd, 2024. And once again, we're very honored, privileged to have with us Judge Andrew Napolitano. And when I say that with all my heart and soul. Judge, thank you for being here. We had a spectacular peace and freedom rally here in Kingston, New York. Judge Napolitano was one of the top speakers, of course, as he always is when he shows up in any group, along with Scott Ritter, Joe Lurie, and myself, and the place was packed, wonderful people. And it was all about peace and freedom. And we are at a crisis time that I've never seen in my life of losing both our peace and freedom, and how the government keeps robbing it from us in any way that they can. Judge, thanks for being here today.
It's a pleasure to be with you every Wednesday, Gerald. And the gathering on Saturday, my heart is still beaming from the reaction that we got, not only the probably 750 people that were there, but the hundreds of thousands that watched on the various streaming platforms, including my own judging freedom. The reaction was just terrific. The talks were wonderful. You were marvelous. Your emotion and passion captured people's hearts. Ritter was terrifyingly accurate in his description of what may become us if we have a hothead in the White House who threatens to use nuclear force. It was all terrifying and eye-opening at the same time. Eye-opening because the powers that be in this country do not want us to talk about peace. No. They want us to talk about war, enriching the military-industrial complex, and satisfying the donor class. But we're going to talk about peace nevertheless. Because the wars in which the United States engages are not against adversaries that pose a national security threat to the United States. The wars in which the United States engages are done for domestic political purposes, killing people for domestic political purposes. When you call the government out for that, they don't like it.
Wow, we just said, and it's really so accurate, domestic political purposes. And you said, you know, you're banned for peace, and the only interested money is the military-industrial complex. And this happens to be the cover of this week's Trends Journal.
Right. That is literally true. Billions for bombs and not a penny to occupy peace. You paid for Occupy Peace, which is the generic name of our rally on Saturday. Some of us donated our time and energy, but you wrote the checks. If the billionaires funded us, these rallies for peace would be all over the country, and there'd be tens of millions of people involved.
Yeah.
But a journey to truth begins with a single step. You have taken those steps. Every time you have one of these rallies, they get bigger and more influential than the rally that preceded it.
Thank you. And thank you, of course, for all you do. And, you know, the loss of our freedom is coming in so many different directions, and how the government is robbing us of our true human spirit. And you have an article here. Again, it relates in a very different way, but directly, about deal or no deal. And it's, what a tangled web we weave when first we practice to deceive. Oh, what a tangled web we weave when first we practice to deceive.
The deceiver. The deceiver in that article is one of the worst presidents in American history, George W. Bush, because George W. Bush created Guantanamo Bay, believing federal laws didn't apply, the Constitution didn't apply, and best of all, those pesky federal judges couldn't interfere with them. And so he believed he could torture and quickly rush through trials and quickly execute without having to follow any due process. Khalid Sheikh Mohammed has been on trial for 23 years. they haven't started the trial yet. Because the second team of prosecutors says, we didn't know about this torture. We're not going to lose our licenses to practice law when we're no longer in the military. We can't defend torture. This case has got to be resolved by a plea agreement. The government initiated the plea agreement after spending hundreds and hundreds of millions on this project. The judge, the chief person in the Pentagon in charge of these trials, the defense lawyers, the defendants, the prosecutors, all agreed on a plea agreement. Life at Gitmo for the rest of their lives, no death penalty, a full recitation of whatever their conspiracy was. Secretary of Defense says, no way, the American public has the right to know what's going on. If the American public knew about the torture that Bush authorized and tried to get away with and the deception of it towards federal judges, there'd be a tremendous uproar in this country. Bush almost single-handedly wrecked the ability of the American government to prosecute mass murderers because he had them tortured. So the article is written not because I have personal sympathy for what happens to these people in Gitmo, but as a lesson. If the government can cut due process corners by demonizing a defendant in Gitmo, they can do the same thing on the mainland, and the American public needs to know about it. All of this is part of the government mentality that doesn't follow the Constitution. We are going to be fighting a war against Iran, and I guarantee you, Genocide Joe will not ask for a declaration of war as the Constitution requires, because Iran does not pose any threat whatsoever to the United States of America. The only reason we would attack Iran is because the donor class has given all that money to everybody in the Congress, and they'll do whatever the donor class wants.
This is heartbreaking, what you're saying. And, going back to this Gitmo thing, where we have no right being in Guantanamo Bay, stole the land.
Correct. And we entered into a lease with Cuba. And then by the time the lease was over, the government decided not to leave and just stay there. They're squatters. It's 40,000 square miles. It's not like you're squatting in an apartment building in New York City. It's just 40,000 square miles that we're squatting on. And then when the defendants challenged the government's ability to run roughshod over their civil liberties and their constitutional rights, the government said, well, we don't own the land. Cuba does. Cuba law applies. And Justice Sandra Day O'Connor actually laughed at them and said, you expect us to accept this argument seriously? You've been there for 120 years. You won't leave. Wherever you go, the Constitution, and stay permanently, the Constitution goes with you.
I remember the day that Nobel Peace of Crap Prize winner Barack Obama, his first day in office, he said, and I'm going to sign a declaration where we're going to close Guantanamo Bay. Remember that one?
And they intimidated him. And then they inserted into the NDAA, the National Defense Authorization Act, a clause prohibiting the removal of detainees outside of Guantanamo Bay. And because he didn't have the fortitude to veto the NDAA, it's 2,000 pages long. They just inserted this one paragraph in there. He signed it into law.
Yep.
I think his heart was in the right place with respect to civil liberty and money. It costs $500 million a year to run the place.
As our country's rotting in front of our eyes, $500 million to run a prison. Now, he's a Obama, you're talking about Bush, Obama. Do they have, you mentioned that, what Bush did. Was there a force behind him making these decisions, or do they make them themselves?
The force behind him was a guy named Dick Cheney.
A penis Cheney. You have to use proper language, Judge. You can't call him a dick.
Wait a minute. Gerald Celente is telling me I have to use proper language.
Yeah.
Cheney was the torturer in chief. I remember I was sharing a podium once with, the name's escaping me, that wonderful governor of Minnesota. Big guy, the ex Navy SEAL that became a libertarian. Anyway, he said to me, give me 5 minutes to waterboard Dick Cheney. He'll change his mind in a heartbeat. I'm not suggesting that should happen, but Cheney was the big promoter of torture. The interesting question is, did Bush immunize any of those people who actually engaged in the torture? Because it's no statute of limitations on torture. They could be prosecuted for it tomorrow. I'm wondering if any of them got grants of immunity or pardon. We can't give immunity. He can give a pardon. If he issued any pardons that were not made public. But torture is the root of the problems at Gitmo. The other big proponent of torture was the senior senator from South Carolina. He's such a goofball, but he's always in favor of killing and torturing people.
Oh, that clown. Yeah. You know, Judge, the names that you're mentioning, we got these little clowns running our world, our country. That's why I asked you, is there anything bigger behind the scenes? And look at Dick Cheney, arrogant little piece of nothing crap. And now I got to hear about his daughter all the time. What the hell do I care? And then Bush, that George Collins line, it's one big club and you ain't in it. It's the same, little Georgie Bush would be nobody if his daddy wasn't George Bush and his uncle, or grandpa, or whatever, Prescott Bush. And the same thing, Cheney, this is the guy that brought us the Iraq War. What about Halliburton? Didn't they have a big deal in that?
Cheney's a significant shareholder in Halliburton. He's the former CEO and chair of Halliburton. I'm sure that Cheney is enriched even as we speak because of Halliburton. For those who don't know who Halliburton is, it's a major manufacturer of arms. It's the quintessential part of the military-industrial complex.
It's terrible, Judge. You know, if we don't unite for peace, we're going to die in war. And which is happening right in front of our eyes. Tracking trends is the understanding of where we are and how we got here to see where we're going. You go back just a little over a week and a half ago. People forgot all about what Israel did with those pagers that killed, about 1,500 people? That Leon Panetta, another arrogant piece of scum, a CIA guy, he came out and said Israel committed a terror attack. How horrible it was. People will forget about Israel bombing bombs away over Lebanon to get that guy Nasrallah and other terrorists. You're a terrorist, by the way, if you're a Hezbollah. And you had the gall, the nerve to drive Israel out of your country, Lebanon. You're a terrorist. So what I'm saying is now they also killed a number of Iranians over the last couple of months. And when they killed Nasrallah, they also wiped out a top Iranian commander. So Iran retaliated yesterday. Well, what did they say, 181 missiles into Israel?
Right. Right. According to Joe Biden, the Iranians were defeated and ineffective. According to Scott Ritter, the Iranians destroyed the major Israeli airbase from which the planes that bomb Lebanon and killed Nasrallah came and to which they returned. The Israelis are never going to tell us the true nature and extent of the damage. The Iranians are using their satellites and drones now to ascertain the extent of the damage.
Kamala Harris, this is after Nasrallah was killed, was a terrorist with American blood on his hands. Yep. And I have unwavering commitment to the security of Israel. I will always support Israel's right to defend itself. I am so sick and tired of hearing this bullshit word. Israel has the right to defend itself. How many tens of thousands of times has the mainstream media reported the crap spewing out of their mouth with this? Nobody else in the world has the right to defend themselves. Nobody. Only Israel. They could kill, rob, steal, pillage, anything that they want, just like the United States. But no, if you fight back, you're a terrorist.
And if your land is occupied, you have a right under international law and a duty to fight the occupier. And when you do, you're considered a terrorist, and they'll begin the systematic slaughter of civilians who had nothing to do with the fighting, and the United States will help them and pay for it.
Yep.
That's where we are in a nutshell.
Yep. U.S. says, this is Al Jazeera, U.S. says helped Israel thwart Iranian attack, reasserts ironclad support. The United States has said it helped Israel thwart an Iranian ballistic missile attack. Again, they're saying it was total failure. With a senior White House official, isn't that a nice name? A senior White House official, a little piece of garbage scum crap by the name of United U.S. National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan said yesterday that, quote, U.S. naval destroyers joined Israeli air defense units in firing interceptors to shoot down inbound missiles. In short, based on what we know, this attack appears to have been defeated and ineffective. This was first and foremost a result of the professionalism of the Israeli military, but in no small part because of the skilled work of the U.S. military. You ready? And meticulous joint planning in anticipation of the attack. Here, we are proud of the action that we have taken alongside Israel to protect and defend Israel. We have made clear that there will be consequences, severe consequences for this attack, and we will work with Israel to make that case.
I guess they want World War III. I'm surprised they want it now instead of waiting until after Election Day.
No, there's going to be something like a false flag attack that's going to unite the people against Iran and pro-Harris. They did the same thing with little Georgie Bush. People forget the dot-com bust preceded 9/11. NASDAQ was down over 70%. The nation was sinking deep into recession. We're going to get that guy Osama bin Laden dead or alive.
Bush went from a 20% approval rating to a 90% approval rating because of the statement that you just articulated. I'm going to get Osama bin Laden dead or alive.
Yep.
By the way, for 5 years, the government, or actually for 10 years, the government argued that Osama bin Laden planned 9/11. Yeah. And then after they murdered him in his house, they said, well, no, it wasn't him. It was Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, the guy we have in Guantanamo Bay.
Yeah, and what the hell are you invading Afghanistan for? The guy was just because he was over there? Afghanistan had nothing to do with this.
Never charged with a crime. I stated on air that Osama bin Laden was murdered, oh, my God, did I hear about it from Fox Management? He was executed. No, he was murdered. He was never charged with a crime. He was never tried for the crime. That broke into his house and filled his body and that of his wife with bullets. That's called murder, isn't it?
So, Judge, the United States is totally behind Israel, and this war is ramping up. What do you see happening?
I'm afraid to say I agree with you, and I see some sort of a false flag happening to unite the people behind the government, because the government is in lockstep with Israel. And I don't know how that is going to be broken unless there's a war that seriously impacts the United States. Yeah. Look, Russia and Iran are about to sign a mutual defense pact. Do we really want to attack Iran for Israel? Do we really want to deal with Russia? Ask Ritter about the natural and probable consequences of that.
Yeah, Israel's a country of 9 million people. Iran has 91 million. You don't have to be good at math to figure this out.
Yeah.
And they're very advanced militarily. And they've been building it up and building it up, knowing that this was going to happen in the future. And we just saw with that attack that they did, and this is, they did very little, and there's a lot more that they can do. This is, Judge, we are in a most perilous time, I believe, in our lifetime. And what do you suggest for people to do?
Well, they should exercise the freedom of speech and challenge the government. They should go to alternative media like the Trends Journal, Judging Freedom, and other platforms that demonstrate conclusively another side of the story from that which you're getting on the mainstream media. In terms of voting, there's very little choice. I mean, no. Harris and Trump is Tweedledee and Tweedledum on all these issues. There's only a handful of people who agree with us. There's a few libertarians on the right and a few progressives on the left. Bernie Sanders, of all people, a socialist maniac, agrees with us on war and peace. AOC agrees with us on war and peace. Thomas Massey, who's the Ron Paul of the Congress these days, agrees with us on war and peace. They are outnumbered and shouted down.
We need money to make this happen. I mean, big money. We need a billionaire to give billions, and everybody, please donate what you can. A lot of people have been very generous, by the way, Judge, and I have to thank them. I mean, really, they have been, and very, very grateful. And of course, I'm grateful that you were here and honored, and that we're very good friends, and we do everything together for the betterment of this country. And no one does it in terms of facts and accuracy of our Declaration of Independence, our Bill of Rights, and our Constitution like you do, and how each week you're showing how they're stealing us, stealing from us our freedom. And, of course, we just heard that little clown boy. Another, like I said, it's one big club and you ain't in. And another little arrogant piece of crap, John Kerry. Oh, I was a member of the Forbes family. Don't you know that? You know, I'm an arrogant little boy, and we have to do away with the First Amendment. What did he say about this?
He wants to amend the First Amendment so as to permit Congress to outlaw disinformation.
Disinformation.
Donald Trump wants to amend the First Amendment so as to permit Congress to criminalize burning a flag, not your neighbor's flag, not the government's flag, but your own. These people have no appreciation for the concept that our rights come from our humanity. And in the political sphere, you can say anything you want. The test of an idea is its acceptance in the marketplace of ideas. It's not its acceptance in the hands and minds of the government. Who cares what the government thinks? The government is the last entity on the planet capable of discerning right from wrong. The government only does what will benefit itself.
Government, bunch of political jerks. Yeah, it's really hard to govern today, Kerry said, arguing that social media possesses challenges for building consensus in democracies. The First Amendment stands as a major roadblock for us right now. Could you imagine? The First Amendment stands as a major roadblock for us right now. That's a quote. Do away with this. Should be major news saying that this little bastard wants to destroy our Bill of Rights and our Constitution.
Well, he's not in the government. Nobody listens to him. And maybe that's why it's not major news. To me, it is major news when any public official wants to tamper with the Bill of Rights. It should be sacrosanct, and it should mean what it says. Unfortunately, it doesn't, and it isn't.
Our First Amendment stands as a major block to simply hammering it out of existence. Yep. And then they had this woman there. They quote later on, who's with the Wall Street Journal, saying that, we owned the news. We were the gatekeepers, and we very much owned the facts as well. Wow. Her name is Emma Tucker. We own the facts as well.
Never heard of her.
She is the head of the Wall Street Journal. And she's from the UK.
Mm.
The head of Bloomberg, from the UK. The head of CNN, from the UK. The head of the Washington Post, from the UK.
Mm.
I guess we lost the
revolution.
The war. Judge, thanks again for all that you do, and what a great, great weekend we had, and the wonderful people that showed up, and all that you do for this country. Nobody does it like you do. Thank you so much.
All the burden was on your shoulders last weekend, and it came up beautifully. Thank you, my dear friend. Thank you for letting me play a small part.
Ah, you played a major part. Thanks so much.
Okay, all the best. See you next week.